Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there, and welcome to Ticket for One, the podcast that celebrates female solo travel. My name is Kate Wills, I'm a travel journalist, and each week I'm going to be speaking to a woman who inspires me about her adventures alone. Today's guest is the chef and food writer, Melissa Hemsley. Melissa began her career as a private chef with her older sister, Jasmine, cooking and delivering nourishing meals for actors, models and pop stars like Take That. A column in Vogue soon followed, and the Hemsley sisters' debut cookbook, The Art of Eating Well, became a bestseller in 2014 and knocked established chefs like Jamie Oliver and Mary Berry off the top spot. Melissa and Jasmine went on to write another cookbook together, opened a cafe in Selfridges, and starred in their own Channel 4 TV show. So if you've ever made bone broth or thought about spiralising some courgette, the Hemsley sisters are the ones to thank. Melissa's solo books have included Eat Happy, which tapped into the link between food and mental health, and Eat Green, which chimes with Melissa's passion for planet-friendly, waste-free eating. In 2019, she launched the Sustainability Sessions, a series of community panel discussions which range from plastic pollution to how to travel with an environmental conscience. I actually recorded this chat with Melissa before the lockdown, which meant that we could meet in person at my house and travelling freely was still on the cards. Remember those days? Anyway, I kick things off by asking Melissa how her travels have inspired the way she cooks.
Hey, thank you so much for welcoming me with a hot cross bun, three different beverages.
It's so lovely to be here.
I've had a cold, refreshing. I've had a hot one. It's just lovely.
We should move on to booze next. That's what's missing.
How long have you got? A little tipple. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on.
I've already forgotten your question.
It was.
Inspired. I'm inspired.
Yeah, travelling. How has it inspired your cooking and the way you eat?
Just honestly, even just travelling around, I mean, London, even travelling from one end of London to another is inspiring. Just popping into anyone's house, I mean, just getting outside your own front door is an inspiration. And actually, even being in your own house, I get inspired. I mean, is it wrong to say I get inspired by myself?
Yeah.
I mean, I get inspired by my own cupboards. You know, sometimes through force of habit, you've only got what's left, and that totally inspires you to do something else. Or you go into a shop. I like going to a shop and looking for one thing, and then if something just captures my eye, I'll go, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'll do something with it at some point. Or whenever people bring me back things from their trips, I feel quite lucky. People are always like, I found this cool spice mix or this weird looking pepper that, you know, weird as in it doesn't look like the pepper we're used to. It's white or it's pink or it's red. And I have loads of that kind of good stuff. So yeah, it is a massive inspiration. And when I think about traveling and the fact that maybe we should travel a bit less, it makes me deeply sad. But I know it's important to limit. But yeah, it is. I kind of wish I'd got more travelling done and more slow travel done in my lifetime. And now I'll just, you know, commit to slow travel, more slow travel.
That's the way forward. You did an amazing trip to Sri Lanka recently where the food just looked incredible. Did you bring some things home from that trip?
I did. So funny, actually. I broke open a packet yesterday. I went to the tea trails and sort of more north, and then I took a train Went south, Welligama, the Wild Coast Lodge, went on a safari. I've never been. Have you been on a safari?
No, it's incredible, isn't it? It's like hard to even describe
heart,
to people.
Like heart in your throat. And then it feels like in a weird way you're watching a movie. And then yeah. you just go, no, I'm not watching, you know, high definition
I'm watching David Attenborough. This is really happening.
Yeah, and you know, everyone wants to try and do David Attenborough's voice as we watch a monkey grooming itself. And everyone like tries to do the voice. On the last day, I remember we turned up at a spice market and then it started raining and we were trying to scoop spices, or someone was scooping spices for us. So we all just stood there giggling and trying not to get wet, and everyone just threw sheeting over all the spices and everyone waited it out. And it was actually quite fun just waiting for the rain to stop, because that's when we started chatting. And I bought loads back. I had to package my spices up, like rolled them in bags and like some tracky bees. Cause I was like, if this explodes, it's going to be sad to lose it all. I would have to just dust my clothes off of cardamom and just straight into the saucepan.
Sniffing of curry.
Yeah. Constantly. But I'd literally, you know, like I'd shake it off into the pot or a baking tray. I wouldn't waste it.
Are you good at eating adventurous things when you're traveling?
I'm always conscious with meat. I'm someone that eats meat when I know where it's come from.
Yeah.
So I prefer in England too, you know, at home too, I'd rather go to the butcher and buy my own meat. But often, you know, when in Sri Lanka, I don't think I even ate any meat when I was in Sri Lanka. We just ate so many delicious vegetables. Am I adventurous? I'm not that adventurous with chili.
Okay.
As I'm getting older, I'm getting more really? Sensitive. How's your chili levels?
Threshold. Yeah, I actually feel like it's getting better. I used to be terrible, and then a trip to India, I had no option.
I was going to say a trip to the loo.
Yeah. Well, that too, when I was in India. Well, yeah. Both.
It's the double burn.
Because your mum is from the Philippines, yes. Right? And I've been there, and there are a couple of culinary traditional foods there which are a little bit on the strange
well
side.
you may even know Filipino food more than me, because when I've been to the Philippines, and I've only been twice in my life, sadly, once when I was four and then 2 years ago, I wouldn't have remembered my four-year-old trip, but this trip I did a week traveling around, and then a few days with my mom's family. So I ate the food but even that was crazy, because I was eating food that my mum brought me up on in Kingston upon Thames. Kingston. Yeah. We both sort of grew up in a similar area. And then in you know, German army barracks. So my mum would make her childhood Filipino dishes, but use ingredients she could get in Germany or Kingston. So I'm eating those same dishes cooked by her sisters in the Philippines. She didn't come with us on the trip. And it tastes so different, but
really?
Also
sort of weirdly familiar.
Weirdly
as
familiar,
well.
But different. In the same way that you could get, you know, if you had two grannies, your granny would cook a roast differently from the other granny, yeah. I'm sure. But there's quite a few dishes that I loved. Hated as a child and love now. But Filipino food's very interesting, because it was a Spanish colony. So for 400 years, Philippines, the name is from King Philip of Spain. And there's Spanish flavours. There's bay leaves and tomatoes and loads of garlic and black pepper. And then there's a little bit of coconut milk, not as much as in, say, Thailand or Southeast Asian. And lots of fish sauce and something called bagoong, which I think probably like really stinky fermented fish.
Yes.
You know, things that don't smell great are actually unbelievably delicious when used with the slightest of hand in a dish, yeah, to add depth.
And they've also got a lot of American influences from war, haven't they? So lots of condensed milk.
Yes.
And
oh, they've got a sweet tooth, Filipinos.
Yeah. The thing I ate that was really quite weird was a sort of fertilized egg. Do you know about this delicacy?
Yeah.
And the more fertilized it is, apparently, like, the more prized it is. So it's kind of like a sort of raw chicken embryo inside an egg.
I presume with gas where you serve, like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm always up for trying these things, but that was a little bit beyond my threshold.
Yeah. Well, you know what I wouldn't do? You're right. Like, if someone offered it to me, I wouldn't ever say no. I'm thinking about when I went to Kenya with the Fair Trade Foundation, and, oh, my God, you know what I thought was so delicious? They did like a mutton stew they had been cooking for 2 days, and it was sensational and lovely. And it was more broth than anything else, but it was the simmering of it. But what I loved in Kenya, because we were with Fair Trade Farmers, and crucially, we were with this project called Women in Coffee Project. So up until about 10 years ago, women did most of the farm work and brought up all the kids and didn't own any aspect of the coffee bushes and didn't get paid, and then to restore some peace, because there'd be instances of men hiring security bodyguards to protect them on payday, because the women would be like, share the money for your kids, obviously generally speaking here. So one person gave their wife some coffee bushes, some coffee trees, and the yield was like 10 times what his was, and that's really been replicated. Anyway, so we would watch them pick, and they would sing as they pick, and it was beautiful and backbreaking work as well. And then they would go and cook lunch, and they would have cooked breakfast that morning, they'd have got the kids off to school. And what I loved the most was they had just all their local greens that they would pick as they walked back from the coffee bushes back home, and just loads of fresh greens simmered with loads of garlic, and just beautiful, and tastes like grass in the best possible way. It tasted like nature, but delicious, deeply delicious.
That's so nice.
And I remember just saying, can I have more of that? And they wanted to give me the meat stew. They were like, well, don't you want more meat stew? I was like, well, the meat stew's lovely, but like, I'm loving your greens. They were like, it's very simple. I was like, I love that.
What a nice memory of a trip. Really as nice. Well, food can be so good. Evoking a place. And I'm so glad that you came on the podcast today, because like many people, you were saying the only time you've really traveled by yourself has been when you've been traveling for work.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you found being alone and abroad. Like, is it an experience you like?
Well, it's funny, because when I was chatting to you about this, I was thinking, and it's so weird, you know, when you said to me, do you want to come on? I was like, yep. I had been weirdly talking about solo travel with someone, and they said they absolutely loved it and it was their favourite thing to do. And they said that even when they go away with other people, they always carve out a few hours for them, especially if they're on a trip for a wedding or something, like when it's hectic and everyone's in your face, they go and have like, just go and sit and have a drink, or literally just F off and go and get a book and just get away from it all. And I think that's really important. It makes you appreciate, because sometimes it is intense, even going with your lover or your best friend. But I then remembered that I have done some solo traveling.
Oh, good for you.
I mean, my brain's going to 34. When I was 18, we went to the same school, didn't we? We went to an intense, very academic school. I only went for the last 2 years, and I had a bit of a confidence crisis when I was there. I wanted to be a doctor. Then at 17, I think I realised that if I was honest with myself, I could have probably got the grades, but I definitely didn't. I somehow worked out I felt I wasn't emotionally strong enough, or I was worried I wouldn't be emotionally strong enough to be in the medical profession. And I didn't feel like I had thick enough skin. Something told me it wasn't right. And actually looking back, I think a lot of it was fear. And I wish maybe I had talked to someone and let them say, well, actually, maybe your sensitivity will be an amazing thing, and your strength is something that you can grow. Anyway, so then I had to rethink uni. So then I took a year off, and literally the day I finished my A-levels, so I was 18 because I was old for the year, I started working for a shoe company, and they were an ethical shoe company, and they were a tiny little company. And I started interning, basically for a week, I helped them. And then I went, actually, I'm quite good at this. Can I have a job? They were like, sure. There's about four people in the company. And within a year, I became the brand manager. So I'm 19, I'm the brand manager.
You're such an overachiever.
But then guess what I had to do? I had to fly to Las Vegas, where they have massive
trade shows.
Exactly. Wow. There was one called Fanny in New York that I had to go to. There was one in Vegas. There was some in Middle America. And I had to go. And of course, I'm like 19. I can't drink. I can't go to clubs. So I'm probably the ideal worker, because these things could get pretty messy. But I used to get on plane. I mean, I actually, it's probably very quite disgusting how much flights I got on, but I would fly to Vegas by myself. I wouldn't tell my mum.
Really?
She would think I'd be working in London Bridge.
What, because she would have been worried?
Yeah, she'd have been worried. Yeah. And actually, when I think about it, if I had a 19-year-old daughter, but but interestingly, I've become a lot more nervous, and you know this about me, my anxiety. I look back and I go, wow, that was amazing. And, you know, I didn't earn very much. And sometimes I'd be without money or phone credit.
Really?
Yeah, quite a few times I'd be having to like call on a hotel phone and be like, can you wire some money into my bank to my boss? It was probably slightly irresponsible of him, but he was amazing. So I have done it. And I remember now you've got me, all those sort of juicy memories are coming back. It was great fun.
Yeah, you're kind of more fearless, I think, when you're that age. It's with age that you sort of start.
I used to sit in restaurants by myself at the bar.
Right, so great cool. Fun. I love doing
so
that.
So I want to do more of that, and you've inspired me. Coming on your podcast inspired
good.
Me.
Good, I'm really glad to hear that. What kind of trip do you think you might like to do alone? Do you think you'd be kind of like a yoga retreat, wellness sort of person, or maybe something around food?
I think one thing I've always thought I'd like to do is go, and I don't know if this exists or if I just would plot it out myself, go somewhere, it could be anywhere, I'm not fussed, just go and live in someone's room, and the mum of the house, or the dad, let's hope there's some dad, you know, some like mamas and dads that could teach me their family recipes, and I could cotch there for 3 days, learn,
that's
help
a great
out
idea.
And then move on to the next place.
That's a TV show. You need to fix that. I love that idea.
Any TV
in a different country
listening
in the world.
To Kate Wills, I'd like to do that. But that's, if anyone ever asked me, like, what's your food style, I'd be like, it would be like mum's cooking. Like, I cook food that my mum grew up on, Filipino style. I cook food that other people's mums in England grew up on. They're the best people to learn from. I don't learn how to cook from cookbooks. Mm. You just want to go to someone's mum's house.
It's the best.
I mean,
way.
I should say, it could be dad's too, but yeah. In my experience, I haven't met that many men who cook.
Yeah, it's always the mama, isn't it? Mm. The
maybe that will change in the next generation.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Seems like it is. And that's actually a really nice way of preserving those traditions, because otherwise those recipes kind of die out.
Yeah.
It's like the next generation don't have the time. That's a great idea.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What kind of traveller would you say you are? Are you very
anxious.
Organised? Yeah, very, very anxious. Does that make you quite organised then, actually? Or are you more going with the flow?
No, I am not going with the flow. That's what I just said about my ideal travel. I'd maybe cotch for... Here's me being like, I'd cotch for a bit, then I'd move on. Yeah. Absolutely not. That's not me. I'd have to freak out about every second of the trip.
I'm just an anxious person. And, you know, maybe the travel could help with that. You know, a few things need to go a bit wrong every now and then. Maybe the more I did that. And actually, I think that's why I'm excited to embrace more slow travel. You know, like when we were in Sri Lanka and we did the 6-hour train journey. I mean, I know it's only a 6-hour train journey compared with flying across the world, but it was a highlight. It was like our best day ever. We were in the carriage with kids coming and going and chatting and sharing food and watching the world go by, and we didn't have a TV in the back of a seat to watch. We were absorbing Sri Lanka. We were present.
So good.
I'm excited about slow travel, and maybe that in turn will help me, because I think one of the reasons I'm an anxious traveler is, you know, airport, the energy in airports, the security, the energy, the rules.
What are your tips for
not
relaxing?
Nice spaces to
have you
be
got
in.
A good checklist? Have you got? Is there a Kate Wills checklist?
for packing.
Do you know what? I really have it down to a fine art now. Like, I'm so streamlined when I go to the airport that actually it's difficult for me to travel with other people, especially
people get
really frustrated. You know, like just little things like, you know, having the stuff you need to take out of your hand luggage at the top or like in a compartment so you're not like upending your whole case.
Rooting.
Yeah.
Like a pig searching for a truffle, that's me.
Big difference. And then I don't try and like, you know, some people go mad like trying to like tick off all these like duty-free items and buy all these things. I just sit myself down. I like scout out the best restaurant, sit myself down, have a really like big luxurious dinner, and then I just fall asleep on the plane.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Little gin and tonic?
Sometimes, or a glass of red wine. Like before I get on the plane, I never drink on the plane actually because it's so dehydrating. So yeah, just have a really big carby meal.
Yeah.
And then you're just out cold on the plane.
Get into some PJs?
Yeah. I actually travel in Kashmir tracksuit bottoms from Marks and Spencer. Honestly, they're the best thing ever, especially if you work at home. Mm. Kashmir tracsuit bottoms.
I like your hoodie
traveling
today.
It's actually a jumpsuit.
Very nice.
Yeah. Jumpsuits aren't actually a great travel thing because of the toilet situation.
Oh, God. But do you have like a nice spray for your face?
Yeah. Like there's a thing called altitude oil. Have you heard
of
that?
Demaniel.
Yeah. That's my favourite thing. Isn't it great? Yeah. So that is an essential. And also a Tempur-Pedic eye mask. You know, like Tempur-Pedic, the mattresses?
Yes.
They do an eye mask, which is like strapping a pillow to your face.
Is it ugly or is it attractive?
Oh, it's ridiculously ugly.
Will you show it to me when we finish? I want to see your Tempur-Pedic. What a word, Tempur-Pedic.
What do you always pack? Are there things that you like?
Similar. I love my altitude oil. I love Annie DeMamio. What do I travel with? I think I'm an overachiever, so I pack the books I meant to read. I pack notebooks with all the new book ideas I'm going to have. I like get so excited about, and then I think about all the movies I'm going to squeeze in. But that's not the point, is it? To squeeze in loads of movies and
I think it can be for some people. It's like the only time they're off their phone is like on the plane, so they're getting all this stuff done.
I'm quite a weir. So I spent quite a lot of a long haul flight just getting up for a wee.
Jumpsuits won't be for you.
No, not jumpsuits for me. I'm just trying to think about what I could do to be a bit more you at an airport.
And do you really hate them that much? Yeah. Are they the most anxiety inducing part of it for
Oh,
you?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
But interestingly, I'm the same on a train. So I told you I was on, I got on four trains yesterday. And it's weird. I always think I've got the wrong ticket. There must be some sort of psychological moment that happened, some sort of trauma. Because even if I check it 12, sometimes, honestly, I'm not joking, I will turn to a stranger sitting next to me and be like, can you just look at my ticket? Because I get this fear that I've either got the wrong ticket or I'm heading on the wrong direction. A girl got on the train with me. She'd all her luggage and she was like, is this going to Gatwick? I was like, oh my God, I don't know. I just know that it's going to wherever I was going. And then we're on there. She's like, oh no, it's not going to Gatwick. And I was, my stomach dropped. I started sweating. I was like, oh my God. And it was one of those fast ones where she couldn't even get off at the next stop. And in the end, they went, this is going to Gatwick. Oh. And we both, I mean, I almost burst into tears. We sort of slightly awkwardly like patted each other's shoulders. She was like, thanks for caring for me. But I was like, I just worry like that.
Oh, that's so nice to feel like that. But I bet that actually makes you a really good traveler in a lot of ways, because anxiety can actually make you like really efficient, really well planned. Like, you know, you've probably thought about all these outcomes. You thought about every outcome going
what's
wrong.
What's the worst thing? Well, I would like to know what's an outcome that's gone wrong for you?
God, so many.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we gonna be able to read about them at some point?
Like, I think it's because I am quite go with the flow that like, terrible things happen. But the worst is probably when I went to China on a work trip. I was 4 days later than the other journalists because I hadn't realised you needed a visa. So mistake number one. So then I had to get an emergency Chinese visa.
What part of China did you go to?
Landed in Beijing.
Right.
They were like, okay, you just need to meet us at Cha Fing restaurant. I was like, okay, got it, Cha Fing. Obviously, I get to the main railway station. Everything's in Chinese, understandably. Yeah. Nobody speaks any English. Police, hotels, everywhere I try and ask for direction thing, they're just like, no. To make matters worse, I don't have any money because I managed to get out Japanese yen rather than Chinese yuan.
How did you manage that?
I just was in a rush going through the airport. So I couldn't even buy like a water. My card didn't work. My phone didn't work. it was like a real no.
Okay.
So yeah, things like
so
that.
What happened? Did you panic?
I was in total panic mode.
Did you
I was
get
like
teary?
Crying.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah. And yeah. Plus I just got off this really long flight, so I was completely discombobulated. If I just relaxed, I probably would have realised that probably quite likely to spot 12 white people in a station full of Chinese people. So obviously when the group of journalists just like sauntered out the restaurant where
did you run over to them?
Yeah, and they must have just thought I was completely crazy. This is their first time meeting me. I was like crying and then like, can I borrow money? Because I don't not a good start. What's the worst thing that's happened to you, or the most challenging thing, I should say? Have you had any dicey moments? Or are you just so well prepped that nothing goes wrong?
I don't think nothing terrible's happened. I've obviously had a bad tummy in unfortunate places before, which is always good fun. No, nothing has gone wrong.
Maybe that's
what I'm waiting for. I'm anxious. I'm like, something's got to go wrong. I've prepared myself for it.
Let's talk about sustainable travel, because I know that that's a subject really close to your heart and mine too. What are some of the things that you've kind of learned from your sustainability sessions and been able to implement?
Yeah, well, there's a wonderful lady who we know, isn't it? Juliet Kinsman, who talks about positive impact traveling, which is to appreciate that tourism is incredibly important for a lot of countries. I think to start with, what a complex issue it is, and I don't know if the absolute best thing we could do would be to never set foot outside of a small radius of our homes. But like we started off by saying, how inspiring travel is and important to us. But the fact that we could definitely collectively cut down the negative sides of it and up the positive side. So she talks about positive impact travel, which I like. So she talks about researching, working out what accommodation you could book that would directly affect the local community, how you could spend your money. So in Sri Lanka, we had a local tour guide and we were thinking about going out on a boat, but there was too much. Do you know what? This is a tip I would like. It's not trying not to cram too many fun things in, right?
That's such a good tip.
Should we go? Yeah, do less, because the boat ride was potential whale watching, which sounded amazing, but it was 5:30 in the morning. And I think we were getting in really late. And I just thought, I can't do that. I don't want to be knackered. And I'm a grumpy knackered person. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we said, okay, well, let's do something with these people that are really fun and nice. And we went on it was supposed to be a 2 till 6 p.m. bike ride around the local villages. But it got to about 1 and I was like, called them up. I was like, it's very hot, isn't it? I was like, I don't think I can ride a bike at 2 o'clock. I'm so sorry. Can we make it 3:30? And they just laughed at me.
Oh.
And I was like, honestly, I'm very sweat. I'm incredible. Like, did I not just even turn up at yours dripping with sweat and it's really cold outside? So it got to three o'clock, we went, tried out the bikes, and they took us cycling, and he was like, this is where I live. And we cycled for about 2.5-3 hours, and he took us through pepper fields and past pineapple trees, cinnamon bushes, and it just was fragrant and gorgeous, and rice fields and kids waving, and we stopping to chat with people. In the evening, the Buddhist temple, people would come out, they were picking flowers to go and offer. We didn't see anyone on cars, we didn't see any other tourists, and it was quite possibly one of the most magical bits. So sorry, I'm slightly going off topic, but spending money and time with people that, you know, that money was going to him and his friend that ran the business. And then slow travel, which we touched on. If I see an article about slow travel, which I know you're bang on, that's the stuff I save and share. And that's what I want to learn about. Interesting train. Also things that you can do to volunteer while you're there in a non-wanky way, basically. Not, I'm going to come and do something for 2 hours. And it actually maybe has cost them more resource to organise that for you.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in things like that where you can
give something back.
I don't want to say, yeah, make a real difference, but actually do something positive and go and learn. And, you know, I went on that fair trade trip to Kenya 2 years ago and they said, do you want to go on another trip? And I'm slightly torn because it enabled me so much to meet the farmers and to see how they live and what they do to make coffee has completely changed the way that I can talk about coffee and fair trade now. So was that trip worth it? I think it was, based on how many people I can maybe help affect a change towards the next time they get the shopping baskets out. But I feel deeply conflicted.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. When we were talking about staycations as well, weren't we? And the silly aisles.
Yeah.
And just discovering.
That's my next trip.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. I'll be going there.
What do you love about it there?
Well, I mean, this will only be my second trip. I loved that I could travel there in a slow way. I loved that it, I had never even heard of it a year and a half ago. I mean, that's a silly thing to say. I loved my ignorance.
A silly thing to do.
I loved the businesses, and there was one family that I totally fell in love with. The parents had a flower business, and then with the rise in flowers being imported from Holland and elsewhere, their business went down. So then they started using their flowers and roses and lavender to make essential oils. Then they started really, so they had beautiful hand lotions and soaps. Then their son Aiden set up all on the same fields. They just sort of carved up the fields. He then started making gin. Then he had orchards. He made apples. So entrepreneurial family. And then, so I love all that. And the food is beautiful. And that's how I discovered them, because I had, I was my editor. I was writing a piece for Vogue about, I write columns for them on, you know, what could you do over half term to get in touch with nature? You know, grown ups and kids are like, what fun things could you do that are different? And I'd asked someone if they knew about any food festivals, and my editor said, have you ever been to the Silly Isles? I was like, no. And when we talked, that you're referring to, you must know, how many islands are there as part of the UK?
Oh my God, I've got no idea.
We'll Google it in a minute,
yeah,
shall we?
I bet there's loads.
There's loads. And then there's, I've never been to Isle of Skye or the Scottish ones.
I was just
going to
say, those Shetland Islands, yeah, in Scotland.
Have you been to them?
I haven't. They're really on my list,
That's my list.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
I mean, a train up to like a lovely slow train.
Sleeper up.
Have you done the sleepers?
No.
Yeah, the only thing is I don't think the sleepers take dogs.
Oh, Nelly.
It might be different now.
Melissa's got a lovely staffie called Nelly.
And she's my world. And I want to say to people, she's so well behaved. Like, Nelly's been going to restaurants and on the tube since she was 2 months old. Oh, she's so good.
She is a well-traveled doggy.
She's so gentle, and she, you know, she doesn't have accidents, unlike me, yes, as I told
exactly. you. She's actually a better traveller than you. Much less anxious.
Much better toilet trained.
Will you take her to the Silly Isles?
Yes, that's it. So that's another reason. They love dogs on the Silly Isles. Like it, and some of them don't have cars. And, oh God, I don't know how to say this without sounding really silly, but, you know, I had grandparents, as in my parents had parents, but I only met one grandparent. That was mum's dad. And I met him once when I was 4 in the Philippines, and then he died. So I didn't, apart from like a 2-day meeting that I don't even remember, I didn't have any older people to look up to. And then my dad's died. So I don't really have older people in my life. And I was silly, like a lot of people there are old. There's also loads of kids, and there's not that many people our age. And I just love, like, you get onto a boat. There's like, so I'll just describe. I mean, I've been on five of the islands. You know, there's one main island where you can get lots of boats to the other islands. Otherwise, you're going to have to like hop on other boats or low tides and stuff. So you're all getting on these boats, right? All run by the fishermen. And you wait for everyone to come on, and a lot of people might have walking sticks, and everyone's helping each other out. And then people are carrying on dogs, and everyone's making room and shuffling over. And everyone's, you know, people pass around like a thermos flask. I mean, it's literally amazing. And then people start chatting to you, and you chat the whole entire way. And then you bump into them at the ice cream shop 2 hours later. And I love that, and I crave that. And it's not superficial small talk. It's like really nice chats. And people have been going there for 50 years, you know, like twice a year. And they're like, you're torn between not wanting to tell people to go.
Yes, exactly. You ought to keep it to yourself.
You can't be selfish about nice things like that, can you?
It's really special. Mm. Definitely adding that to my list.
And then you fall asleep, like that air just knocks you out. So it's lovely.
Amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing.
Is that the end?
That's the end.
Oh, no.
Over so quick.
Oh, I loved it.
Thank you so much.
It's an
honour
to be on your podcast,
Kate.
It's been
a real pleasure. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Melissa is such a warm and enthusiastic presence, and our chat has definitely made me want to explore the Isles of Scilly as soon as possible. In case you were wondering, there are 136 permanently inhabited islands in the British Isles, but if you're including islands which aren't inhabited, are less than half an acre, or are only accessible at high tide, then there could be as many as 6,000. Sustainable slow travel is something that I've been trying to do more of for a while. And obviously with COVID-19 and the lockdown, I think that's made all of us reassess how we travel and the impact it has on the planet. But if you are still planning on jetting off abroad, here are my top three tips for making it as sustainable as possible. The first thing is just to slow everything down. If you resist the pressure to see everything in one trip and spend a bit longer getting there instead, you can really lower your carbon footprint. And these days, travelling by train or boat doesn't have to mean compromising on style. The newly revamped Caledonian Sleeper between London and Scotland has double rooms with en suites and eggs royale at breakfast. I've also heard about a wooden sailing ship in Indonesia, which is called the Silalona, which Gwyneth Paltrow chartered for her family holidays, which looks amazing. The other thing you can do is to opt for eco-friendly accommodation. Lots of hotels now call themselves eco-lodges without the sustainability credentials to back it up. So it's really important to look beyond the greenwashing that you get and choose a hotel that really does give something back to the environment. The Scarlet Hotel in Cornwall, for example, has really sustainable practices in place. It's got a sea thrift planted roof which attracts insects, a natural chemical-free swimming pool, and uses recycled plastic bottles. Spending a few days or even a few hours of your trip volunteering for a local project is a really memorable way to not only enhance a destination, but also feel like you're giving something back to the community. There are now loads of different tour operators who will team you up with volunteering experiences. And there are also hotels that specialise in this. There's one called La Paz Rios in Costa Rica, where guests are invited to read with students of a nearby primary school, which is also funded by the hotel. And you can even contribute to a reforestation programme by planting a little seedling in a rainforest that they have there. That's all from me. Thank you so much for listening to Ticket for One. I'll be back next week, or you can follow me on Instagram at Kate Wills Writes. If you're enjoying the podcast, please do rate and review it, as it really helps people to find it. And also share your questions and experiences of solo travel with me by emailing ticketforonepodcast@gmail.com. I hope to see you next week, and goodbye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.